hope is it's getting tough again. Let's be careful. Even people that have been vaccinated, be very careful. Amen. Just get a distance and wear your mask. I know we see people breaking out the grocery store and doing what they want to do, but we are smarter than that. Amen.
Amen.
Let's continue to wash our hands, distance ourselves, and do what we're supposed to do so that we can stay healthy. Amen.
Amen.
And not only that, those of us who are vaccinated can get sick, and then those who are unvaccinated, we can really make them sick. Amen.
Amen.
So we should be a little more loving and a little more caring toward one another. Amen.
Amen.
But quiet. Y'all have to be careful with the hymnals. Amen. I know that y'all still trying to hold on to the hymnals. Amen. But if y'all ain't learned the four songs that we've been singing for the last 20 years, y'all not going to learn it in one Sunday. Amen. So y'all need to be careful about hymnals and past and stuff for one another. Be careful. You hear me now? Y'all listen?
Amen.
All right. And then when y'all finish singing, each choir, I'm going to ask you if you would go out in the sanctuary where we can be spread out. Amen. So that I'll then holler at you. Amen. And make you sick. Amen. Amen. Is that all right?
Amen.
I love y'all this morning. I'll show you back up and tell you that I do love you. Amen. That God is still in the blessed business. Amen.
So
we call on Mr. Cook and ask him if he would open us. Amen. In worship, him in the front of the care of the service, the way God would have them to do it. Amen.
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 Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Come on, say it like you mean. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, I'll take that. Today is a good day.
Yeah.
It's a day that the Lord has given us and allowed us to wake up and to be here, to come into his house once again, to worship him and to praise his name.
Uh-huh.
Before we get started, I'm going to do something that I usually don't do. Lord didn't put this on my heart since last night to do this, and got to do it. If y'all remember, back when we were outside, I preached a sermon. If you listen, I'll leave. It was Psalms 23. And I didn't know what that was really for, but I found out it was for me. It was for other people as well, but it was for me. There were different things going on, and he told me, just repeat the first three scriptures. No matter what happens, repeat the first three scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul for his name's sake. And y'all remember during that sermon, I said I never knew what it meant until he made me study it. But now I know what it was for. And you all probably know as well that these past few months, almost 3 months, I haven't even been able to walk really. Sit down, sleep, eat, do anything. Everything hurt from my back all the way down to my left leg. I had 3 bulging discs, 1 herniated disc, spinal stenosis, and sciatica. And last night, he told me, well, I can add this in. And at one point, as of June 24th, he told me in the very beginning, don't worry about my job. And I held on to that. And I said those 3 scriptures. As of June 24th, I had no more income coming in. None at all. Didn't know what was going to happen. I had people say they would help me out. And I told them I appreciate it, but I was going to hang on to his word. And I did. And he wound it up and gave me 219 donated hours, which was enough hours to cover me from June 24th until the day that I return to work, which is tomorrow, and all of my upcoming appointments for the rest of this month and next month. And he told me last night that the reason I went through this was not for me, but was for his glory, to let me know that he would do what he said he would do. And he did. I'm walking without a cane now. I still have some pain, but it's, you know, not as bad. But I am able to walk. I'm able to sleep without a problem. I don't have to sleep sitting up no more. He fixed it all, and he's still working on it. And I told him last night, if you wanted me to do this, I'd do it. And he told me it wasn't for my benefit either. It was for somebody else's benefit. That they would hear my testimony, and it's going to bless them with what they're about to go through.
Amen.
So for whomever this is, may this testimony bless you. With that said, we're going to begin service. Father God, oh holy and magnificent one, great I am, the creator of all things of heaven and earth, light and life, the one who created us to serve you, to be a blessing to others, to be blessed, that we may bless others. And as we bless others, our cup will overflow, that we will continue to bless others and never stop receiving blessings. And we thank you. Father, we magnify your name and we glorify your name this day. For those, Father, that have made it into your house this morning, we give you thanks. For those, Father, that are watching you on the internet now or maybe watching it later, we give you thanks. But Father, we know that it is your will that we hear your word. And we pray, Father, that your word continues to go forth and touch each and every heart, not just ours. But as it touches ours, we will go out of these four walls, Lord, and speak it to someone else, that it will plant a seed within them, that someone else will come by and water, Lord, and that you might give the increase. Father, we ask you now to anoint this great music ministry. Touch the piano player. Touch the drummer, Lord. Touch the singers, Lord. Touch them all. Touch the pastor, Lord, and touch the congregation. And let us give you glory, Father, and thanks. In Christ's name, we thank you. And if those who are able to stand, if you could stand and join in with our doxology. Today's scripture is coming from the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4, verses 21 through 32. And I know y'all been standing, but if you're able, could you please stand for the reading of the word? And after we read the scripture, we'll ask Deacon Pedro, who is our morning intercessory prayer. We'll begin reading at verse 21 and read through verse 32. When anyone has it, amen. Read. Say amen. And I'll be reading from the NIV. And it reads, when you heard about Christ and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no more, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, and it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every kind of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That is the word of God for the people of God. It is blessed.
Touch each and every heart in the building and around us today, O Heavenly Father. We have forgiven loving hearts, O Heavenly Father. And thank you, O God, for the strength and help to make it through what we have been through. O God, bless you to continue to bless us and guide us and strengthen us in the Son of Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And now we'll have a selection from this awesome choir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Shake it off, shake it off.
That's one thing you have to do a whole lot. You have to do a whole lot and just let the Lord know you care. Get us back on the right road or give us strength to stay on the road. We ask you, God, to look upon our hearts, our minds, and our souls today. Thank you, God, for blessing our homes, our children, our grandbabies, God. Thank you for being just so good to us. Still waking us up, putting food on our table, and clothes on our backs. God, we don't take it lightly, God. You are God, and besides you, there is no other. Ask you, God, that you would give this prayer preacher strength one more time to stand and tell the story of Jesus Christ and how we made it over. Pray, God, that you would prepare us to be living sanctuaries this morning, pure and holy, tried and true. Pray, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart has been acceptable in your sight. For truly, O God, you are my strength. Lord, you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Faithful of God said, amen.
Amen.
Again, we are here today. I can hand the mic to you. Somebody's going to tell you where I'm going this morning, right?
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Acts chapter 2. Hopefully we'll finish it today. Amen. I could milk 3-4 more sermons out of it. Amen. But I think the Holy Ghost will allow me to move forward. Amen. Amen. I know some of y'all are standing, but y'all are I'm screwed y'all to death this morning. Y'all don't really have to stand if you don't want to. Amen. But if you feel it, you can stand. Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 47. The Bible reads, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." I'm going to talk to you from a subject this morning. If you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. If you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. People are redefining what the church is and what the church should be doing and what the church should not be doing. That's why I'm glad the Lord has allowed me to go back to the first century church in the book of Acts and see how he designed the church and who he put in charge of the church and the things that he mandated for the church to do. Most of those things we've already covered. I'm not going back, amen. If you missed all that, you got to go back, amen. You got to go back to Facebook, IJustLittleUCC.com, and look at it for yourself. But I can't go back no more, amen. We're moving forward in the Lord. But I will tell you that the church is the house of God. The church consists of the people of God. The church is the temple of God. The church is not just a building, but the church is the body of Christ. Which some would debate me today. Am I right about it? So absolutely, when we come together, we are coming together to worship Jesus Christ. We're coming together in the building of God to have fellowship and worship and to minister to one another. We are the church, amen.
Right.
Not only is the building is the church, because some folks say the building is not the church, but I'm going to show you how that God cared about the building, amen. And you being a Christian and me being a Christian, the house is for the Holy Spirit, which makes us a building of God. It makes us the church of God. And when we come together, we become one big mega church in God by the power of his Holy Spirit. So some folk come to church. They say, we come into church. No, you are the church. You're bringing the church to the church so we can come together and worship inside of the building, which we call the church. The church has been neglected, amen. The church has been talked about. The church has been abused. But I just told you, you are the church. I don't like nobody talking about my God. I don't like nobody talking about you all, the people of God. I don't like nobody talking about the things of God, amen. And I'll stand up and defend the things of God anytime against anyone. Now, let me walk this thing to you. Walk this thing down to you. Exodus 37. The ark of God was why God housed himself in a building. Exodus 37. The spirit of God was inside the box of acacia wood, layered in gold. Amen. In Exodus 37. And it was housed in the tabernacle of Moses' house. When they came out of Egypt, out of sin, through the Red Sea, the Hebrew people, when they came out following the Holy Spirit, God was with them. The Bible says that God led them by day and by night. By night, he led them by a pillar of fire. By day, he led them by cloud. But once they got through the promised land and to the wilderness, God told them to come together and create this box. Inside this box, he put some things inside the box. He put Aaron's rod inside the box. There was 12 tribes and everybody was fighting and wanted to know who was in charge. God said, take all the rods and put them together in the rod and bud. That's the tribe that I'm with. And it fell on Aaron because his rod budded. Then the commandments of God was inside the ark of God. And not only that, the manna which he rained down from heaven, he gave them bread, he gave them biscuits in the wilderness that they did not have to bake. All they had to do was gather and eat. Amen. Thank God for it. He put that inside to remind them that I am God. Amen. Then once Moses had the ark of God, everywhere they went, they led by the ark of God. Amen. But then it came a time when David came on the scene. When David became the king, amen, David would not go inside of his house. Matter of fact, Psalm 132 records, Sister Lisa, where David said, I will not go into a plush palace. And God is inside of a tent, amen, inside of a tower. He desired to build God a house. Now, I'm not going off and all of that, amen, but we can go to Bible study and talk about it later. But one thing about it, God said, I do not desire you to build your house, but your son will build your house. So long story short, David began to make provision for the house of God. But in the meantime, he said in Psalm 132, he said, I won't sleep, my eyelids will not slumber, I will not rest inside a palace until the house of God is built. Amen. And so he began to worship, amen, and get those things and provisions made. And once the provisions came in, he gave to Hiram, amen, he gave to the workers, those who would be the builders of the house, amen. And then y'all know something happened in between that, amen. Second Kings, amen, chapter 12. Just write that one down. Go back and look at it for yourself. It said that they was collecting, amen. They were supposed to be taking it to the house of offerings during Jedidiah's day. Jehu was the king, amen. Y'all know what happened? They brought their offerings in, and the priests became, started taking the offerings for themselves. And I don't know about you, but I'm scared to mess with God's money. I'm scared to mess with God's house. I'm scared to mess with God's people, amen. I'm scared, amen. So I don't mess with God, amen. But they were doing what they wanted to do with the money. So the high priest came, brought the royal secretary with him, amen, took the money from the hands of the priest and put the money in the hands of the men who would build and do the work of the temple. Then the Bible says that he took a box, amen, and took it to the right side. And that's the word, the power of God. And he riveted it to the side of the altar that the people would come around, would put their offerings inside. That's why we do it. See, we just doing stuff in church and don't even know why we doing it. We doing it because God had mandated us to do it that way. That if you bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, you would have meat in God's house. He said, fool me now and see if I would not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. In other words, not only will you be blessed, but your children will be blessed. Your grandchildren will be blessed. Your neighbor will be blessed. Your friend will be blessed. As a matter of fact, God can bless you so good that your enemies will be blessed. That's the kind of God I serve. Came there to take the money out the hands of the corrupt priest. That tells you that sometimes everybody in the house of God is out on God's side. We're doing what we want to do, how we want to do it, any kind of way, without any consideration for who's doing what, instead of coming together in prayer, doing it the way God said it, so that everybody can get blessed.
Yeah.
So now, David desired to build God a house, but Solomon, his son, built the house. Amen. Go to 1 Chronicles, not to go there, but write it down. 1 Chronicles 22 and 5, and look at when Solomon began to prepare the temple when you get time on your own. But notice that this temple is not just the church. The temple is not just us, amen, but it's Jesus Christ who's in heaven. I'm moving fast because I want to keep you all day, but Jesus Christ in John 14 and 6 lets you know real quickly that he is the one. He is the temple. He is the head of the church. He is the church. Matter of fact, let me back up. Hebrews chapter 10 tells me that when God got ready to send Jesus down for the sins of the world, the Lord said, prepare me a body, amen, and send me down, amen, and watch me work. Amen. So we know that Jesus Christ was the body. 1 Corinthians, before I get too carried away, because I'm feeling good already, but I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. Write that one down. That's the place where God lets you and I know that we are the temple of God, that we belong to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that you are, do you not know, Paul said, that ye are the temple of God? Amen. And that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. Amen. That's why we got to be careful. Just cause you in the sanctuary and you leave out of here, you got to let your light so shine, because men and women know who you are. Whether you in church or not, folk know you belong to God. When you walk in the grocery store, they know you belong to God. You can try to wait till all the Christians go to bed, cause y'all know we go to bed by 10. Amen. And y'all try to sleep out in the middle of the night and hang out with the sinners, amen. Do you not know that some saints are out there hanging out with you doing the same thing, and they may not recognize who you are, but the sinners know who you are, because you don't walk like them, you don't look like them, you don't act like them, you don't even belong out there, amen. You belong in the house. But the Bible says that we got to be careful how we treat God's house, how we treat God's people, amen, how we treat one another, and then also the world. Because when I get to this text, we're going to find out, when the first century church was formed, there was no social service, there was none of that stuff that the government had need. That's why people are fighting today. They say, well, we got big government, and the government doing too much. Then they say the government is not doing enough. But if we do it God's way, they won't have to do anything anyway, because we will fund the government ourselves by having what we're supposed to have to pay our taxes and do what we need to do and keep our houses up. up and keep our people up and to keep the church of God going, and we won't need anything from anybody, because we'll be drum majors like Dr. King said, and we'll have what we need to do what we need to do to promote this gospel of Jesus Christ. Gun battles all over the world. We need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks are killing and stealing. We need the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see men killing their own relatives. Amen. Men killing their mothers and killing their fathers and children killing their parents. Amen. Something wrong with this way in the world. We all know we fussing about what the police did to us. And folks said we're unruly, defund the police and all this. But we need a certain mandate of compassion. And people have gotten cold. Amen. And folk don't love each other no more, because we done took God's word and we doing what we want to do, and we're not showing love for one another. And so God has stepped back and closed his hands up and said, y'all know how to run the church, then y'all run it. You know how to run your house, then you run it. Amen. And when you get to the point where you know that you got to cry out for God, then God will step right back in and fix your situation. I wish I had somebody. That's what old folks say. He may not come when you want it, but he's always on time. So you might not know God is there, but God never left you. Reverend James Moore said God was there all the time. He was there when folks were talking about you. He was there when folks were treating you bad. He was there when you didn't have nothing to eat. He was there when your dad's money was running to fight. He was there when your health wasn't there. He was there before they put you out on the anesthesia and told you to count down 10, 9, 8, and you didn't even know you was in the world. And God come to the recovery room and touch you. Hey, man, you got right back up and healed your body. Nobody but God. Exodus chapter 2. You're going to find out that if you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. Y'all thought I forgot what I was talking about, didn't you? No, no, no. If you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. In this text, we know. Y'all already know the background, right? Peter has preached a great sermon. The folk has heard the word of God. The Bible says they heard the word of God. They received the word of God with gladness. Amen. And something started happening. When they received the word of God, the people began to teach. The people began to come together. The people began to break bread. The people began to have communion. And then folk got saved. In other words, they heard Peter preach. They said, what must we do? Peter said, repent. In other words, stop doing what you're doing and turn back to God. Amen. And if you turn back to God, God will bless you. And the Bible said that folk turned back when they heard this preaching of the words. And we got the preachers. We got to preach God's word. Amen. I'd like you to jump. I'd like you to shout. I'd like you to say amen. But maybe this Sunday God don't want you to jump. Maybe he don't want you to shout. Maybe he wants you to cry. Maybe he wants you to reflect. Stop looking at everybody else. Examine your own self and work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling and see what God is doing in your life.
Amen.
If the Lord don't come back, guess what? We gonna die. And the one thing we have to leave behind is a legacy for our children and our grandchildren. No better legacy for them to say that mama, papa, and nana, and daddy, they love the Lord. Amen. They saw you praying. They saw you reading your Bible. When they got all bent out of shape, you said, no, baby, God will take care of you. Amen. And when they see you doing those type of things, guess what? When we dead and gone, that legacy is still going to be living. Because you want to worry about your babies no more. Because God will take care of them. There's some folks who, if you ask the older people, go on and leave the Lord. Yeah, y'all know they knew we was crazy back then when we was younger. And they didn't want to leave, amen, because they were not sure that we could do what we're supposed to do, not just anywhere, but in God's house. Because they knew if you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. So now we got to start teaching that. So that the word of God is preached in verse 41. People received the word of God. Not only that, the proof that they received the word of God was that folk got baptized. They came and they joined the church. Got a whole lot of folk joined the church, but they won't do no work in the church. They won't give in the church. They won't use their talents in the church. They won't do nothing in the church. As a matter of fact, I ain't scared of y'all saying, I'm a pastor for a little while now. I know it is hard to get folk to come to hear the BIBLE, but I can stir up some controversy and call a meeting on Thursday and pack this church out, because y'all be like, wait, God, leave us. What's going on?
Amen.
What when you come together, look what happened. Verse 42, the people came together.
They fellowshipped in the Lord. Y'all see it? And then verse 43, this is the results, church, of doing things, like I said last week, the way God designed it to do. This is what you'll see. You will see godly fear. Y'all see it in verse 43? Y'all got y'all Bible. See, that's why y'all messed up at. Y'all don't have your Bibles no more. Everybody fancy now, amen. I heard Pastor Carl say this. Everybody on their phone now. But you got Pastor Carl say, you got to be careful on your phone, because anything might pop up on your phone while you're looking at your Bible at. Okay. But fear came. Y'all see it? That word phobia means fear came upon the people. And that fear don't mean like you're afraid of God or you're scared of God. That's that you have a respect of God. You have a reverence for God. And you respect God's people. You respect God's house. You respect God's anointed, because you are his anointed. Amen. Because the pulpit flips it and try to act like the only anointed people are the people up here. The devil is alive. The whole church is anointed. God Almighty. The Bible says God is here. Luke 1 and 50. Say, God's mercy is with the person who has godly fear. Let folk do what they want to do. You just respect God and watch God's mercy show up when you need it.
Amen.
Luke 1 and 50, in case you missed that. That's what God will do for you. Psalm 25 and 12 says, the fear of God, or the blessings of God and the mercy of God is with the man who fear God. Look. And not only that, Psalm 25 says it's from generation to generation. Remember, I just tied that in. Y'all missed it. If you trust God, if you honor God, God will bless you right now on this earth. And then he will bless your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. And then he'll come back to your great-great-great-great-grandchildren. God will bless, because he just said it from generation to generation. And his word is true.
Amen.
When you trust God. We ready to go. We trust God. Verse 44 and 45. Moving real fast. Verse 44 and 45. You see the stewardship coming. That means that whatever God gives you or gives me, we use it for the upbuilding of God's house. Y'all hear that? And then God will turn around and bless you. You just said it, didn't you? My God. But it's not only stewardship, but it's commitment. Because I can come drop $200 in the plate and then go back home. What have I done? I have not come to commit my talents to the Lord. The third thing is, this is the one I don't like. You may like it, but I don't like it. The third thing is self-denial. You got to deny yourself. No, bad as you want to do something, sometimes you can't do it because you belong to God. You got to take up your cross and follow him. You got to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. They don't like me over here. I'm coming over here. You got to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. I got one amen back there. Come back over here, child, for y'all one more time. You got to take up the cross, amen. Deny yourself and follow him, amen. Amen. I'll see you when you listen, amen. You got to follow him, amen. So the people, they come together in ministry. Y'all see it? After Peter's preached, the people receive the word. Some folk join the church and get baptized. Amen. Then the fear of God and respect of God come to the house of God. Amen. And then not only did that happen, then the people came together to share in ministry. Y'all see it? Esau, Ipto, Otto. That means they came together in one accord and in one place. They didn't come together just to be together. They came together to do something in the name of the Lord. They didn't come together to just be at church. They came together to do something in the name of the Lord. When we come together and do stuff in the name of the Lord, nobody will be lacking in this church. Nobody will be lacking in the community. Nobody will be lacking. I'm getting tired of hearing folks say, we're a small congregation at Archer Grove, and we can't do this, and the devil is a lie. Not that we can't do it, we won't do it. Because you can't tell me that God can take 12 people and turn the world upside down, and he can't take 40-some people, 50-some people, 60-some people, and turn this little community upside down. You gonna tell me that Archer Grove is right here in the Boston community, and we ain't affecting nobody around us? You gonna tell me that God got us right here, and we can affect nobody's presence? Nobody's presence, bro. The devil is a lie. We got Facebook now. We're supposed to be affecting folk all around the world. We're supposed to be able to help somebody. We're supposed to be able to lift somebody. We're supposed to be able to pray for somebody. Lay hands on somebody until they feel better. together. This is the one that people hate. Brother Sunday, they hate this one. It said that y'all came together for the call of God, the mind of God, the purpose of God. It said that those who believe sold their possessions, Lord have mercy, sold their possessions and goods, and brought it and set it at the apostles' feet. And it would happen. But see, they set it at the apostles' feet because it was all together on one accord, and when nobody trying to be important, they were just trying to meet the needs of the people. Woe to you if Reverend Thompson is in a bad way and I need some food and y'all got to go bring me something to eat, and then y'all bring me something to eat, and before you get up the road, you done call somebody and say, guess what? You had a trace and you didn't have no food in the house, and we had to go by that child and take care of our pastor. Amen. We just had to bless them some kind of way. Myself and my deacons, I'm not going to use them today, man, my preachers, amen, or God's preachers, or God's deacons, how many of y'all want to do? I know these men to have blessed folk and help folk when they was in trouble, on their way to jail, tripping out at the house, amen, couldn't get it together, and we had to go down and pray for them and set them down, slide them a few dollars, don't tell nobody about it. As a matter of fact, we don't even talk about it, because it ain't none of our business, because one of these days, it just might be you, and if it ain't you, it might be somebody in your family.
Amen.
So Christians, you got to really take care of each other.
Yeah.
So they came together and saw what they had. Committed their way to the Lord. Uh-huh. Now I'm going to work with you two ways. I promise you I'm going. Matthew 19 is the rich young ruler. Rich young new ruler comes to Jesus in Matthew 19. He said, good master. Jesus wasn't the first of all, why you call me good? Now when I told you, beware, when folks be well of you, then you're trying to, they never want something, they watch it, amen. But Jesus said, why do you call me good? And he wanted to know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, sell all that you have and give to the poor and follow me. Now hear me? And he said, you would have your reward in heaven. Now he didn't understand that the Lord also expanded that thing, that if he had did what Jesus said, he would have been richer than what he was at that time. Because the Bible says you can't outbless God. Whatever you give somebody in this world, God will give you more before you leave in this lifetime. He'll bless you. Bible says, let him who labor, that means him who work, let him do it, that the person who don't have anything may come, amen, and have, they won't need anything. Y'all with me now? So we're supposed to come together as a church, as the body of Christ, to help somebody. Now I've been trying to get y'all to come out here. We've been bringing food. Folk been bringing food. I can't get nobody to come out here and serve the food. I can't get nobody to eat the food. I don't care. You don't have to be formal. If you know somebody that needs some food and you got a key to the church, come out here and get some food and take it to them and don't tell nobody. You took it to them. Lord have mercy. School children, get ready to go back to school. Don't tell me that we can't bless them, that they can have stuff. What church you go to? Arches Road, United Church of Christ. You should have no holes in your shoes. You should have a new backpack on there, man. And we shouldn't talk about mom and dad, because you don't know what situation they in. As a matter of fact, some of us who got a few nickels to rub together now, when we first got married and we were younger, we didn't have nothing, amen. And God kept us, amen. God made a way for us, and we have to make a way for us here. Love the Lord. Y'all hear me? Love the Lord. Somebody say love the Lord.
Love the Lord.
Love the Lord. Love the people. And love yourself. 1 Timothy 5:8 said a man who don't take care of his own household is worse than an infidel. It's worse than an unbeliever. Don't be coming trying to eat with me at a restaurant, amen, and pay the tip and pay the, and you ain't paid your wife meal. No, no. Take care of your wife. Take care of your children. Take care of your responsibility. And if you can't give the church, you give God between you and God what you can give, amen. Stop worrying about everybody else. Do the best you can do, and I declare God will bless you.
Amen.
Matthew 22 said we got to love the people. Got to love God. We got to love God's people. You can't say you love God when you don't love me. For John said, if you say it, you can say it, but you a liar and the truth ain't in you. If you go and try to pray to God, and when I come out of this pulpit, you won't speak to me, or you come out this pew and you won't speak to each other, you don't know my God. See, I know, it's all right. In God, there's no selfishness. In God, there's no hard-heartedness. In God, that when you come to God and the Holy Spirit come to you, the fruit of the Spirit ought to come to you. Go write it down so you can find it. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. There ought to be some love in you. There ought to be some compassion in you. There ought to be some kindness in you. There ought to be some gentleness in you. There ought to be some long-suffering in you. In other words, stop trying to make folk get right today when it took you 30 years to get right and you still working on it. You ought to be long-suffering toward other people.
Amen.
Believers. I'm gone. Believers started praising God. Y'all see it? Five things happened. This is it. I'm gone. Five things happened. Between verse 46 and 47 of Revelation, five things happened there. First of all, when they did God's way, when they started worshiping God, fear of God fell. You know that deep fear of God fell on them, and then they began to worship God. Isn't that right, Sam? And when they began to worship God, the Bible says the people worship and praise God. Not only in the house, the church house, they praise God in their house. Because it said they worship Him from house to house, breaking bread and singleness and heart with gladness. So look, you can't leave God in the box, because I just told you, He ain't in the box no more. He out the box. You are the box. Amen. And when you leave church, every now and again you have to break down in the bathroom and give God some glory and give God some praise. Every now and again in your life, you have to shake your head, clap your hand, give God the glory. Amen. Mr. Jeremy, I know that your leg hurt, that your back hurt, but anyway, grab a hold of something and shake your leg in the name of Jesus. Let the devil know I still got a reasonable portion of governor strength. It does not matter what nobody do, I'm going to serve the Lord until I die. Amen. That's the remedy for it. The first thing is that they worship. The people praise God. Second thing is they worship from house to house. Third thing is there was no selfishness. There was no, they said they had a singleness of heart. Y'all hear me? The fourth thing was that they believed and they praised God. In other words, they let their light shine. Y'all hear me now? And then the favor of God was on them. You hear me? The favor of God was on them. Not just with God, but with people. Have y'all ever seen folks start blessing you and you can't understand why they're blessing you? Why they say, no, that's not why I'm just going to give this to you, amen. I just thought about some of brain day doing it because God has given you favor with them. Two kinds of blessing comes. Amen. I'm gone. Sold everything they had. And souls were saved. That's the last one. Souls were saved. The church, we're in the soul saving business. Y'all hear me? So God's house is people who come together, made up of believers in God, who go after the workmanship of God, amen, and God begins to bless us. Is there anybody here other than me that God will bless you? God will, like we do like David in Psalms, people, you say, Lord, created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. Please, Lord, don't take it. Don't let me quench it. Don't let Him flow in me. And when God begins to flow in you, He'll bless you in a mighty way. I'm done right here. I'm done. I told you I was done. I'm done. But I'm telling you, right here, the doors of the church is open. It isn't open in a special way. This is a different way. It's open today for those who need to reconcile back to God. If you don't have the relationship with God that you had before, you can't feel that song, you can't feel the preach, amen, you can't feel your prayer, that means that God has not drifted, but you have drifted from God. If there's somebody who needs to reconcile back to God, this is the time for you to come back to God. Because guess what? I say it all the time, but I'm going to say it again. You can't do God's work unless you know God. You can't do God's work unless He anoints you and empower you to do your work. And you certainly can't love people unless God give you the power to love. Amen. And how you know God has given you the power to love people? And when you can love folk who don't like you. That's when you know that God is with you. Yours and the church is over. There's one who reconciled back to God. If not, if there's somebody who never accepted Jesus Christ, the free will offering of your sin. And today you said, okay, Lord, I love you. Lord, I trust you. I give my life to you. I want to go in the water and be baptized, link up with your church and be there with you forever to walk with you and witness for you. If that's you, I want you to come now. The doors of the church is open. Amen. That God has blessed you. Amen. So God, we ask you now that you would bless us by the hearing of your word, just by being in your presence, God. God, that you would fill us, God, with your presence, that we would love you more and more, that we would come to your house, and we would give, and we would worship you with our gifts of the Spirit, amen, and we would help one another and be there for one another, God, that we would bless you, God, like no other church has blessed you, and then you would pour out the windows of heaven, God, open them up, God, bless us as well in a mighty way, fill us, God, save some folks, send them, God, if you don't send them here, send them, God, to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Until we get better. In Jesus' name I pray that the faithful of God said amen. Amen. You got all that right there. I want you to lift your hands to God. We can go on to the house right now. Amen. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it by now. Amen. Amen. If you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. I'm going to say it three times. If you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. I want to talk to somebody because somebody was listening to the blues. If you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. Who are you listening to R&B? I'm going to feel that. If you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. For all y'all will listen to that rap music, I can't do it. If you take care of God's house, God will take care of you. And anybody that's hurt today, anybody that's broken today, anybody that needs a friend today, if you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. That's the church. That's the body, his people. That's each other. We got to treat each other right. Isn't that right? And we got to show the community love. If we do that, we'll be God's church. Now, my blessing to you is this. May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may he rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now, and forevermore. Let the faithful of God say amen, 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 and amen. Look at your neighbor, say neighbor. Oh, neighbor. If you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. Hallelujah.